Hotline. Good morning, John. How are you?
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me on. I don't think we have the time to tell the whole story, but I have a funny one about Ron Tugnutt when he was the goalie coach for the World Junior Team Canada squad in 2010. And he and the trainers on the team had a bet about my weight.
Okay.
Yeah. Ron thought that I was like this skinny little rail. And so we did a weigh-in at the end of the tournament, and Ron guessed that I was 120 pounds. And I was so insulted, right? It's like, come on, Rod. You know, I haven't been that way since I was in high school. And so he goes and he frisks me, right? And he pats me down. And he goes, uh-oh, you're more solid than you look. And so I step on the scale. And, like, Alex Petrangelo was on that team. And he thought this was the most hilarious thing. So he's standing there outside the dressing room watching this all go down. And so I get on the scale, and I forget what I was weighing. But, I mean, I had been in Saskatchewan for almost a month and eating too well, you know. And so I mean, Ron lost that bet by a mile, but the trainer who had me on the scale there, he goes, John, two words, salad and a sit-up.
Well, being on the road that long, no home-cooked meals for quite some time.
Yeah, you can maybe recount that to Ron, see if he remembers that. But, yeah, he lost that bet terribly. I don't know what the stakes were, but, yeah, that was one of the fun moments from 2010 World Juniors.
Oh, man. Well, you're covering the Montreal Canadiens, as you always do, in a unique way, right, through Zoom a lot and what have you. But the Habs begin the official Stanley Cup playoffs. Play-in round is over. The 16-team tournament's underway, and they take on the Flyers tonight at 8. We're going to carry that game live on TSN 1200 for our listeners here as well. As you're breaking this one down, the Philadelphia Flyers are, I don't think anybody would argue, are a deeper team here, probably the favorite team in this series. Montreal's coming off a very impressive win in the play-in round against the Pittsburgh Penguins. You know, in your conversations so far and doing your tee-ups, you have a feel for the series yet?
Yeah, I think that it's going to be, it's going to be, I feel that it has the potential to be a closer series than people believe. Simply because the Canadians, prior to the Q round, Carey Price, Claude Julien were saying that everybody has to play over their heads. And they all pretty much did. And so with each passing game and with the adjustments that Claude Julien made in game three and the way Carey Price was playing, this team is gaining confidence with each subsequent game. And so they're riding a high right now. And I believe that's the way that their structure is starting to take form. Their young players, especially Jesperi Kotkaniemi and Nick Suzuki, playing key roles in the 2 and 3 spot center positions, or sorry, 1 and 3, 1 and 3 center positions. There's just a lot that the Canadians have going for them in terms of team building. That's, I mean, they might look like the Philadelphia Flyers light in terms of they're not as deep or as solid in all positions or as experienced. But having said that, they have some intangibles going in their favor that I believe could prolong this series and maybe, just maybe, allow the Canadians to upset another Pennsylvania team.
You just mentioned the play of two young centers. In the case of Kotkaniemi, how much of a bonus is this considering how his regular season went and he was sent to Laval? Like, everyone must be thrilled with the production he's given in the postseason.
Well, let's put it this way, guys. When Marc Bergevin did his press conference with us, when the Canadians were announced as being the 24th team in the play-in, he didn't even think Kotkaniemi would be available for training camp, much less do what he's done through the Q round. He came to training camp stronger, better skater, more solid on his feet, and Claude Julien from day one was praising him up and down, like for everything that he had seen. And that's pretty rare for Julien to do that, to praise a young player to that extent. He's done it for Arturi Lehkonen since he got here in 2017. I'm talking about Julien. He's done that for, I mean, Brendan Gallagher. I mean, but his play speaks for itself all these years. Nick Suzuki right from the beginning. And he was very effusive in his praise about Jesperi Kotkaniemi, even in his rookie year. Well, early on, he was very impressed. But then as his play started to suffer, as his rookie season ground him down a little bit, you saw the comments becoming less complimentary. But Kotkaniemi, he's been a revelation, and he's really, basically, he's kind of allowed Claude Julien, or sort of relegated Max Domi to fourth line duties. And so a little bit miscast there. But having said that, Kotkaniemi, possession monster. He was controlling 64% of the shots at 5-on-5 against the Penguins through four games. Like, for a sophomore who had had a nightmare regular season, like, that's almost unheard of. So, yeah, he has been a bonus. And regardless of how far the Canadians go, this will be huge for Kotkaniemi's development.
Well, it's interesting because that's one example that I've seen so far around the league coming, you know, off the play. And some of these young players, a lot of them took quantum leap forwards in the break, right, and made the best of their time. And Kotkaniemi is probably the best example of that. Kirby Dach looks like a different player, you know, with Chicago and the way he's contributed as well. You know, Dylan Dubé, what he's doing with Calgary right now so far. I don't know if because we see this during the regular offseason. We expect young players put in a good summer. That's a cliche, right? Needs a good summer. Mm. Needs to get bigger and stronger. See you at camp. And oftentimes, this is where we notice it. So it's so unique, John, that and Kotkaniemi is probably the best example of this. He's just a different guy. He's a different person. He's still growing. Mm. He got bigger. He got stronger. And it's a little easier for him to start to project out to be the player that he's expected to be from the position he was drafted in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. We all have to remember, too, that Kotkaniemi only just turned 20 about a month ago. He's still one of the youngest full-time players in the NHL. And I will say full-time because if he keeps going this way, there's no way he's not going to be on the roster come December or January or whenever the next season starts. But to your point, yeah, if you mentioned Kirby Dach in the conversation too, and I'll bring Nick Suzuki into this, some of these rookies that were having good campaigns, they started to wear down, started to hit the rookie wall before the season paused. And so in essence, they played a shorter regular season. Then they had, quote-unquote, an off-season that lasted longer than it normally would unless those players missed the playoffs in a normal season. Mm-hmm. So they took that time and worked on specifics to try to up their game, to address shortcomings in their play, in their bodies, in their preparation and training. And so essentially what we're seeing right now is the start of a new regular season, but multiplied by 10, because they understand what the stakes are here. It's not starting a regular season per se. It's the play and then the playoffs, right? So a lot of these young players, they put the pandemic time to really good use, and they're coming into this fresh, relaxed and rested and playing at a much higher level than they normally would in a regular season. So it's we'll probably never see this convergence of circumstances ever again. Hopefully not, because we wouldn't want to go through another pandemic again. Yeah, this is it's been a treat, and it'll be really interesting to see how these young players, what they contribute as they get more experience and more confidence moving from round to round.
You mentioned Max Domi being slotted in that fourth-line center role right now. His ice time decreased with each game in the qualifying round. How is he handling this, and do you think that there's a point where he'll be elevated throughout the lineup?
Well, to be honest with you, I think Max, we haven't had a chance to speak to him at length because of the limitations to our access. Everything is done by Zoom, and teams, at least the Canadians, they don't allow their players to reply to the reporters. You know, we have relationships with players and we can text them and so forth, but you're not getting replies because the team's issued a directive, don't talk to reporters outside of the Zoom environment. But with Max, you just get the sense that he's accepted his role. He's bought in because the team is enjoying success. And really, this is not so much an indictment against Max Domi as it is an endorsement of Jesperi Kotkaniemi and Nick Suzuki, that those two young centers have been playing so well and have excelled in the responsibilities that have been handed to them, right? It's like, for instance, Suzuki, he plays in all situations. First unit power play, he's the quarterback now. And he's a penalty killer as well. Logs high 5-on-5 minutes too. So I mean, how do you reduce those two centers' minutes just to try to give Domi more? And that's why you saw his numbers diminishing. It doesn't have to do so much with Domi, his shortcomings, as it was that the young players are stepping up. And so I think that as long as the team is doing well, Domi, he's genuinely a team guy. That he is he's going to keep accepting his role and doing what he can to the best of his abilities to help the team succeed. And but if injuries crop up, as they always tend to do in the playoffs, then you got a guy with not playoff experience, but certainly he's played big games and in lower levels of hockey in his career and succeeded that way. And when Max Domi gets into emotional situations, we've seen it. He really brings it. He, when he's used more and when he's when the stakes get higher in terms of the intensity, his game tends to elevate as well. So it'll be interesting to see if that opportunity comes his way.
John Liu from TSN is joining us. We're going to carry the Habs and Flyers game on TSN 1200 tonight. Of course, John, for many years, has covered the Montreal Canadiens for TSN. So when an upset happens in hockey, it usually goes without saying your goalie's got to be your best player, if not, like, he's in that conversation. And Carey Price was. He was great against Pittsburgh. But when you talk about other reasons why they got by Pittsburgh, and we go through the emergence of those two young setters that you just laid out for us, John, but man, oh man, Shea Weber and Jeff Petrie in particular, and Ben Chariot had a very solid series, but Weber and Petrie did everything and more that the Montreal Canadiens were hoping to get from their D-core and were huge factors in that upset against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And, you know, there's no Malkin and Crosby with the Flyers, but the Flyers still have, they have a lot of firepower as well. You fully expect you're going to see these same types of big minutes are going to need the same kind of performance to get by?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and as much as we say that the young players put the pandemic time to good use, guys like Shea Weber and Jeff Petrie benefited from the pandemic time because they are minute eaters during the regular season as a matter of course. And so for them to be able to rest up in a shortened season and prepare pretty much in the same way that they would for the in a normal off season, and then come back playing high-level hockey, those guys know where their games and their mindsets need to be when you get into the postseason. So the preparation for them is basically the same for playoffs, right? And so, again, convergence of circumstances for them has worked in their favor. And so on top of the fact that there's no travel here, right, the only time that players and teams in the Toronto bubble are going to travel is if they go to Edmonton for the conference final. And so you don't have the distractions. It's a double-edged sword not being around family, but at the same time, you don't have any family responsibilities to deal with as well when you're in that bubble too. So there's a lot of things working in players' favor that will keep them fresh, that'll keep them focused and engaging in team building too, because those guys are all stuck there together in their hotel for weeks on end, right? So, yeah, I think you're seeing the benefits of that reflected in Shea Weber's and Jeff Petrie's play. They're logging significant minutes, and both of those guys play in all situations too.
I guess I could ask this about a big chunk of the team. I'll start with that, and I'll lead to Carey Price here, but is there an attitude that maybe the team has felt nobody's giving them a shot, so they want to prove those doubters wrong? And then at the same time, Carey Price, I think a lot of people believe that his play has declined and he's not that, no doubt about it, best goaltender in the world anymore. So is he taking maybe a chip on his shoulder and proving that he belongs in that conversation still?
Oh, yeah, 100%. When the series was over, one of the things Price said was that nobody gave us a prayer, right? Talking about fans, pundits, everybody in the hockey world thought the Penguins were going to win that series. And so, prior to, like during training camp and through the course of the series, they obliquely made references to that they were using this as motivation, that everybody had pegged them as the underdogs, and rightfully so. You know, they had a 1% chance to make the playoffs when the season paused. They were the 24th team into the 2014 tournament. And so they really, a lot of people honestly and legitimately believe that they shouldn't even have been there. So that's a lot of fuel. That's a lot of bulletin board material for a team, especially with guys like Price, who's won everything except a Stanley Cup. Weber, same thing too, right? And Price, again, we keep coming back to the pause, the break, the pandemic time that guys used productively. And same thing for Price. You know, he was on his way to logging about 66 appearances again this season if they hadn't gone into pause, which would have been the second highest total for like the fifth time in his career. So he was wearing down. You could see it. And but he rested and he prepped as he would in the off season in the absence of shooters. When he was out in the southwestern United States, he didn't have anybody shooting pucks at him once they were allowed to get back into rinks. And so it was a little bit different that way in terms of preparation, off-season preparation for him. But I think, again, we're seeing the benefits of rest because he came in focused and fluid and all those things that we expect to see from Carey Price, calm, straight out of the gate, absolutely the most important player for the Canadiens against the Penguins in the first few minutes of that series, and he just kept going, and we saw the result.
In closing here, John, give us one matchup you're looking for. How you think, you know, who Julian wants to get out there and vice versa. Matchup situation, a couple of guys that have a huge factor of who wins these battles in the series, within the series. Because I find that always be the most fascinating part. And when I sink my teeth into a playoff series, you know, is, I don't know, maybe it's Weber and Giroux, whatever. What are you looking for?
We haven't mentioned them because we've talked so much about the young centers, but Philip Danault's line with Paul Byron and Arturi Lehkonen. They are an absolute lights-out defensive shutdown line that Ken chipped in offensively. They came up with the series-winning goal against the Penguins. But I'll be really interested to see which matchup, especially without last change for the first two games of the series, who Claude Julien tries to get that line against. I suspect it'll probably be the Couturier line, simply because they are such a strong two-way line. Clearly, Claude Julien became more comfortable with Suzuki against either Crosby or Malkin in the first series. So, I think that he's probably comfortable with either the Hayes line or the Couturier line seeing Suzuki, but I think he definitely would have a preference as to who he sends the Danault line against, and that, to me, will be a very interesting matchup.
All right, good stuff. We're going to have the game once again on TSN 1200 tonight. It's game one, Habs and Flyers, one of five games now because we got an 11 o'clock start coming up later this morning. John, always appreciate your time here on the station, and we'll hook up with you again down the road. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it. Always enjoy being on.
There's John Liu from TSN joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. You can download the Gabriel Pizza app and start